It's going to move to business now. Sean Pellegrin is joining me here on set. We're heading to Tibet, in fact. The Chinese authorities advancing with an equal parts colossal and controversial hydropower project. What's this about?
Well, this is a project for a mega dam in the region of Tibet on the river called the Yarlung Tsangpo. I don't know about the pronunciation there. Premier Li Qiang attended a ceremony to launch construction on the site near the town of Ningxi on Saturday. This is quite a remote part of the country. The project will consist of five cascade dams and will prove a challenge for engineers who will have to straighten some of the river's natural bends and also divert some of the water flow through tunnels. The estimated cost of this project is around 1.2 trillion yuan, or about $167 billion, which is approximately four times more than the most expensive hydropower project in existence, the Three Gorges Dam on the Yangtze River, which was completed in 2009. It would break records in terms of electricity generation capacity as well, at 70 gigawatts, also much more than the Three Gorges Dam, or worth the entire capacity of Poland.
Wow, figures are outstanding, aren't they? What is the Chinese government then, Charles, hoping to actually achieve with this?
Well, there are two main motivators here, boosting the country's clean power capacity and advancing on the government's goal to reach net zero by 2060 and kicking its addiction to coal power, and also boosting the country's economy with a huge infrastructure project that will feed more orders for construction companies, cement and steel producers. The share prices of Chinese companies in those sectors have seen a significant boost as well this Monday, whether it's China Energy Engineering or Power Construction Corporation of China or Huaxin Cement. As you can see, they're all trading about 10% higher, the daily limit on the Shanghai Exchange.
There are significant risks involved as well.
Let's start with the geopolitical ones. With this project, Beijing would consolidate control over a whole network of rivers. The Yarlung Tsangpo flows into India and feeds the Brahmaputra River, which is a strategically important waterway for the country, as well as for Bangladesh, which is further down. This really exacerbates the risk of flooding for the 300 million people downstream, especially as the region where the project will be located is prone to earthquakes. And there are environmental concerns as well. Chinese environmentalists are worried this will hurt biodiversity in one of China's most vibrant wildlife hotspots. The Yarlung Tsangpo Gorge, where the river descends as much as 2,000 meters and just around 50 kilometers. Authorities promise there will be no adverse effects, but there are also concerns raised on the utility of such a huge project with the increasing number of droughts. It's getting more difficult to get hydropower stations to generate to capacity, and the shortfall tends to be replaced by coal.
We shall see which way it goes. Quick look at the markets then, Sean. How are they faring?
Well, mixed trading in Asia this hour as the People's Bank of China leaves its loan prime rates steady. Investors also assessing latest trade talks as the White House reinforces the idea of a hard deadline for August 1st. You can see the Nikkei ending the session 0.2% lower after that electoral upset. Tariffs also a consideration in Europe this Monday, although stocks have started trading slightly higher at the open.
Now, over tourism, we're going to talk about now on the programme. It's becoming the in-vogue issue, if you like, for popular destinations, particularly cities like Paris and many others around the world, of course, for some time.
Economies geared to suit visitors rather than residents, inflating prices for everything from groceries to apartments, damaging the environment, overstressing infrastructure. The list goes on, as does the backlash that's been seen in tourist hotspots across Europe. Many places have now instituted or raised tourist taxes to help raise revenue, a scheme that in Barcelona has seen a great deal of success. Luke Schrago with the story.
Barcelona may have doubled its tourist taxes this year, but the Spanish city is still a draw for visitors who don't mind paying up.
It's fair that you have it, but in Barcelona it's really high compared to other cities.
As long as taxes really fund the community and not just some rich people, I really don't mind taxes. So if they're really being used properly and distributed well, I don't mind paying them.
Visitors pay from 6 to 8 euros per night and up to 11 for those in premium accommodation, and it's been a great source of revenue for the city. It netted 106 million euros last year thanks to 15.5 million visitors. The funding went to everything from municipal improvements to museums, festivals, and even air conditioning in 170 public schools. However, protests by locals fed up with being priced out of their own communities are still a feature. And for Barcelona's residents, there's still some way to go to get a handle on over-tourism.
Here we find there's part of the discourse that says we lack housing, as if we lacked apartments physically. But we can see how there are 10,000 homes given over to tourism in Barcelona and more than 100,000 in Catalonia. Flats serve to live in them, not to do business and tourism, not for temporary contracts, not to install co-livings that are like fraudulent hotels, but to house families.
The city is acting. Local authorities announced last year the elimination of all short-term rental licenses by 2028, and a new move recently to limit numbers arriving on cruise ships.
John. That's it. Thank you very much. Charles Pellegrin with the business news for us there on France 24.